pastor and a taxi driver both passed away and went to heaven. St. Peter, standing at the pearly gates, waiting for them, and he asked them both to follow him, and they soon arrived at this beautiful mansion up on a hillside. And St. Peter stopped and turned to them and said to the taxi driver, "We have arrived at your eternal destination. Enjoy." And the taxi driver went off smiling to his eternal rest. As they walked then further, St. Peter leading the way, the pastor following him, the pastor smiled to himself. Well, if a lowly taxi driver gets that mansion, just think what a man of the cloth is going to receive. But then sure enough, they got to to where St. Peter stopped and turned around, and they were standing next to this old ramshackle hut, just barely standing. And St. Peter said, "Welcome to your eternal rest. Enjoy." And the pastor said, "Now, wait a minute, before I do, I've got a question. I'm a man of the cloth. I committed my entire life to the ministry. I served others. I served the church. I served the community. I preached the word of God boldly my entire adult life. But then the taxi driver, he got the mansion. Remember the mansion? And this is maybe not quite that." And St. Peter's, "Oh, well, the answer is simple. When you preached, people slept, but when the taxi driver drove, people prayed." The question for today in our series, Asking for a Friend, is all about prayer. Specifically, the card that I have here that I received a few weeks ago asked this question: why does God not answer prayers when you need them most? Why does God not answer prayers when you need them most? Great question, isn't it? How many of you have ever asked that question or something a little like it? Am I the only one? Okay, I see that hand. Good. All right. We've all had that ache in our hearts when we truly thought that God should intervene and he didn't, and sometimes it just feels like he's not listening. Now, I know I've preached on the topic of prayer many times before. Just the month of January, we dedicated 4 Sundays to the topic of prayer and the importance of prayer in our daily lives. I'm sure I don't have to tell you again that prayer is an extremely important part of our spiritual lives. And there are many different aspects to prayer, right? There are a lot of different ways that we pray, or things that should be involved in our prayer lives, that thanksgiving and worship and praise and confession and intercession and supplication and a whole lot of other shun words that I'm probably not remembering right now. But some people write out their prayers, and some people read prayers from books that were written hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And I stayed a weekend at a monastery several years ago, a silent retreat. I told the group this week that I didn't last the whole weekend because it was a little too much for me. But stayed at this monastery, and the bell rang every so often, and every time the bells called the monks to gather and pray, the first time it rang was at 3 a.m. each morning, and I skipped that session each morning. But prayer is this huge topic, right? It's a pretty big thing to tackle. It's something that every Christian should be doing habitually, and it'll look a little different for each of us, and it's something we could all be better at. But today, as we answer our question, I don't want to just think of prayer as a topic, because prayer is simply how we connect with God. Prayer is how we connect with God. So, like there are many ways that we stay connected in our relationships with the people in our lives, there are many ways that we connect with God too. We tell the people in our lives that we're the people that we're close to, we tell them that we love them, we ask questions, we thank them for the things that they do for us, we just sit and enjoy spending time together, right? We laugh together, we cry together, we express frustration, we work out our differences, we do things together, all of those things and more should also be part of our lives with God, our prayer lives, right? Because prayer, at its essence, is simply how we connect with God. Now, specifically today, the question is about God answering prayer, right? So we want to zoom in on that part of praying, where we're asking God to intervene, to provide, to act on our behalf. It's the part of prayer where we're asking God for His intervention. Why doesn't God answer my prayer when I need Him most? We have to answer that, though, in the context of what prayer is. And just a second ago, I told you that prayer is connecting with God, because prayer is not just getting what I want. Prayer is connecting with God, not just getting what I want. And that's a big shift, I think, for most of us, because usually we think that prayer worked if we got what we wanted, what we asked for, right? And inherent in that question on the card is actually the question, why didn't God do what I wanted Him to do? I mean, we ask it, why didn't God answer my prayer when I needed it? But really, we're saying, why didn't God do what I wanted Him to do? If we got the promotion, or the person got healed, or the relationship blossomed, or everything worked out, then I got the answer that I wanted and prayer worked. But we've got to change our definition. If we're going to tackle this question, we have to change our definition of prayer, because prayer doesn't work when I get what I want. Prayer works when I connect with God. That's a big shift, though, right? Because we think prayer is when I get what I prayed for. Prayer works. Prayer is effective when we connect with God. That changes our entire perspective on prayer. I hope that you continue to wrestle with that long after these few minutes that we're together today. When I look at the rest of Scripture, I see that prayer didn't always work for some pretty good people, actually. King David prayed for his son to live, and he died. The Apostle Paul prayed for a painful problem, his thorn in the flesh. He prayed that God would take it away from him, and God said, no, you can deal with that for the rest of your life. That's fine. Moses and Jonah and Jeremiah and Elijah all prayed that they could just die, and they didn't. Jesus, the Son of God, prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane that He wouldn't have to die, and He did. Some pretty holy people prayed for things that they wanted and they didn't get them. So did prayer not work for them? We can't say that, because prayer is about connecting with God, not just about getting what we want. But that doesn't change the fact that the Bible does encourage us to pray for things, to ask God for things, and sometimes we get what we want and sometimes we don't get what. So why? What is the deal? Why don't we get what we pray for? Well, we're going to dive into that. The first thing could very well be that we don't get what we ask for because we're not living like we should be. James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We like to quote that. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Well, the opposite then, I think we can draw from that. If the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, then it makes sense that the prayer of an unrighteous person is weak and ineffective. Other places in Scripture back this up. Psalm 34:15-16. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Psalm 66:18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord wouldn't have listened. Proverbs 15:9. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous. Proverbs 28:9. If anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. Isaiah 59:1-2. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities, your sins, have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He, hard to read, but there it says, He will not hear. Sometimes we don't get what we pray for because we're harboring sin in our lives. If prayer is all about connecting with God and sin is all about being disconnected from God, then it makes sense that if we have unconfessed sin in our lives, we won't be connected with God and He won't be inclined to listen to us, let alone give us what we're asking for. Well, that seems like a pretty tall order, Pastor. Well, let's look at that word righteous. If we go back to that James 5 passage, it says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful. What does it mean to be righteous? It means we have a good or a right relationship with God. Because of God's love for us, because of Jesus' death on the cross, it is possible for us to be rightly related to God. When we call out for His mercy and His grace, when we confess our sin, He forgives us. 1 John 1:9 says, He forgives us and He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That means He makes us righteous in His sight. Because of Jesus, when we commit our lives to Him, we are considered righteous, and it is the prayer of a righteous person that is powerful and effective. God is not just someone to cry out to for a magical fix of what I think is wrong in my life or when I'm going through a crisis. Oh, I'm going through this. I've tried everything else. I should probably pray. God didn't intervene. Now I'm mad at Him. God wants us to have an ongoing relationship with Him. And if it feels like you're not connecting with God in prayer, the first thing we have to do is evaluate our relationship with God. Is everything up to date? Do I even have a relationship with God? Have I put my faith and trust in Him? Have I confessed my sin and allowed Him to forgive and cleanse me? Or is there a thing that I'm holding on to and God has convicted me about it and yet I am still involved in that and I'm pushing Him away? Well, if I'm pushing Him away, it's going to be real hard for Him to intervene then with this thing that I want Him to do. God is always ready and willing to answer the prayer that we pray to ask Him for His forgiveness and His cleansing and to make us righteous, to give us a right relationship with Him. Because prayer is more about connecting with God than just about getting what we want. But that connection does involve us asking for things. We want Him to intervene in our lives. It certainly is a part of prayer. It's not all that prayer is, but it certainly is a part of prayer. So let's look for a minute about that invitation that God gives us to ask. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 takes us right there. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God invites us to ask Him, right? That verse says, present your requests to God. But we have to notice that that's not followed up with. And when you present your request to God, He'll give you everything you ever thought you wanted. There's a book I read years ago called Too Busy Not to Pray. And I believe it gives a great explanation of how God works in answering prayer. The author of the book says that God always answers prayer. It's just that He doesn't always say yes. He doesn't always give us what we... Yeah, He actually answers in a lot of different ways. First, sometimes God says no. I don't know whether there's any country music fans here today, but maybe you've heard Garth Brooks' song, Unanswered Prayers. I'm not going to sing it for you today, but I am going to read a few of the words. It says, just the other night at a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into my old high school flame. As I introduced them, the past came back to me, and I couldn't help but think of the way things used to be. She was the one that I'd wanted for all times, and each night I'd spend praying that God would make her mine. And if He'd only grant me this wish that I wished back then, I'd never ask for anything again. And then the chorus kicks in. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. I think maybe Garth Brooks has some decent theological truth there. When the song uses the term unanswered prayers, really it's talking about when God said no. No, this isn't the right... I know you're asking for this and you think it's the right thing for you right now, but it's not. Trust me, it's not. And maybe someday you're going to look back and see that. But right now the answer is no. There are things that are not good for us and they aren't God's will for our lives, and God knows better than we do, and God is God and you are not, and sometimes He says no. It's not that God didn't answer. He said no. He doesn't even have to tell us why. It's just no. At other times, the timing's just off, right? Sometimes God says slow. These are all going to rhyme, by the way, but I'm stealing them from somebody else. And Not Dr. Seuss, I promise. But Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Psalm 27, 13, I am confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. If I took a poll here today of all of us who love to wait, I think maybe there would be zero hands raised. We complain when the traffic light takes forever or the line is long at the store or the Wi-Fi is spotty. But have you ever thought about how long people waited in Scripture? I don't know. I've thought of this a lot. I've probably mentioned it before. But we read through things in the Bible and we can just flip a page or read down a few verses and then it happened. And okay. But if you put yourself in that situation, I mean, Joseph back in the Old Testament, he was put in jail, wrongly accused and put in jail. And then he had some hope that somebody was going to, like, 2 years he waited until they remembered that he was wrongly imprisoned and was going to be freed. 2 years he sat there. The Israelites wandering in the wilderness, right? 40 years before they entered the promised land. Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, God's speaking to them in the Old Testament, telling them to get things right. And then 400 years before the promised Messiah comes. Although it's not a very popular answer, a very common answer from God is wait for my timing. Slow. It's not right now. Trust me, just wait. Sometimes God says, grow. Sometimes he says no, sometimes he says slow, sometimes he says grow. I like green eggs and ham. Say, am I right? No. I touched on this a little bit last week when we talked about why God allows us to go through suffering, right? Sometimes God leaves us in a situation instead of delivering us right away because he's developing something in us. He's helping us to grow. I still remember grueling workouts on the soccer field back in the day, running sprints and running hills and working out. The further I am away from it, the more brutal it was. I'll sit down and tell you all about it. But we didn't regret going through those hard days in practice when we realized that toward the end of a game we were in better shape than our competition and we were able to come out on the winning side when the game was on the line because of the hard work that we had done in the past. We could have skipped all those hard practices, but then we wouldn't have been equipped for the tasks that were before us. There are things that you will learn going through a struggle that you will never learn any other way. So don't be in such a hurry to get out of difficult circumstances. Yeah, we lift those things to God and we say, God, please help. And sometimes God's answer to us is, stay in there for a while. I'm growing something in you. Sometimes God says, grow. Sometimes God says, go. In other words, there are times when God's answers to our prayers involve us. We need to be active in the answer. Many times, you are the answer to the prayer. I love Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. Jesus is telling his disciples, he says, look to the fields, they're ripe for harvest. And then he tells them to pray for workers in the harvest field. And the very, I know the titles, the little titles that are written in there aren't really part of the actual scripture, but in my Bible, it's always caught me as humorous. Pray for workers. Pray that God will send out workers. And the title for the next chapter right below that verse is Jesus Sends Out the 12. Right? So he's telling them to pray for God to send people. And the very next verse, he's sending them. Right? So sometimes God says, yeah, you are the answer to the prayer that you're praying. Instead of praying for God to provide someone to intervene and to help, God may very well want us to step in and to make a difference as well. And so sometimes we are a part of God's answer in the situation that he has placed us. Sometimes he says, go. So sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says slow, and sometimes he says grow, and sometimes he says go, and this one doesn't rhyme, but sometimes he says, sure, yeah, let's do that. Yes, of course. Sometimes God gives us what we ask for, right? That's when we usually say that prayer worked. God answered my prayer. Really, prayer was working all through all of those answers, right? Because prayer is about connecting with God. It's not just about getting what I'm praying for. In Philippians 4, there we saw when God invites us to present our request to Him, He doesn't promise to just give us what we ask for, but He does promise something else, and it's maybe more valuable than we give it credit for. He promises His peace. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we are living in a right relationship with God, we're connected to Him, we're walking through life with Him, and we truly present our requests to Him, then we're trusting Him with whatever it is we're praying for, and we experience His supernatural peace, no matter the answer. It's a peace that surrounds our thoughts and our emotions, right? Our hearts and our minds. And it comes from a faith and a trust and a surrender that no matter what the answer is, I trust You. And there's a peace that settles down over us, that guards against anything that would come in to bring worry and anxiety and fear. I can think of no better example of this than Jesus Himself on the night before He was crucified. After He ate the Last Supper with His disciples, they all went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus went off a little by Himself to pray, and He presented His request to God, didn't He? "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from Me. Yet I want Your will to be done, not mine." Jesus' request was that God would find another way, that He would, that He wouldn't have to die. He prayed that prayer 3 times, but He always concluded His prayer of surrender with a prayer of surrender. "Your will be done." Not just what I want, but Your will be done. There's a great series of novels by Jan Caron called the Mitford series. Some of you probably have read those. I've read them a couple of times, and it's probably time for me to plow back through them again. Just delightful stories centered in a small town in North Carolina, and the main character is an Episcopal priest named Father Tim. And I probably relate to Father Tim more than I should, but man, just jumps off the page several times over the course of those books. And maybe you've read them. Maybe you need to write it down. Mitford series. You won't regret it. But Father Tim, in those books, several different times, he comes to the place where he talks about praying the prayer, the prayer that never fails. He says that prayer, "Your will be done," is the prayer that never fails. In other words, "God, I want this, but You know what's best. God, I'd love it if things worked out this way, but Your will be done. It sure seems like this should happen, God. I mean, everything is pointing to that this needs to happen. And come on, God, I need You to, but I trust You. Your will be done." It's a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of surrender. The prayer that never fails. Jesus didn't get what He asked for that night. The cup was not taken from Him. 3 times. Drops of blood, sweating. "God, I don't want to do this. Take this from me." Nope. He was crucified hours later. But Jesus' prayer was answered, right? God's will was done. And aren't we glad that it was? I guess as we ask the question, why does God not answer prayers when you need them most? I would point us to, are we praying the prayer that never fails? Above anything and everything else that we're pouring out to God and asking Him for and presenting our requests to Him, are we praying the prayer that never fails? Are we praying, "Your will be done"? Or are we just grasping to what we think God should do, wondering why we're not getting what we wanted? Our requests to God have to always be prayers of trust and surrender, submitted to His will, not just ours. When we pray like that, Paul says in Philippians, when we pray like that, His supernatural peace flows over, not just how we think, but how we feel, our heart and our minds. He covers that. He protects that. He guards us with his peace. Because prayer is about connecting with God, not just about getting what we want.